Actually, Kamsa killed the third just speaks such a brutal, brutish person, just a crazy man. The seventh was Balaram. Balaram was transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. Actually, his mother is Rohini there, eternally connected like that. And one name of Balaram is Rohini Nanda, the dear son of Mother Rohini. Why did he first spend a little time in the womb of Devaki before being transferred out of there as if it was a miscarriage, but actually transferred to the womb of Rohini? What was he doing there in Devaki's womb? This is interesting. Balaram sees himself as a servant of Krishna. Even though he's God, you could say, as much as Krishna is God, Balaram is God. You ask Krishna, who is God? Krishna says, me. You ask Balaram, who is God? Balaram says, Krishna. He's in the mood of a devotee. So what was Balaram doing there in the womb of Devaki for some, not a long time, just a little while? What was he doing there? He was checking it out. Is everything in order? Everything is working properly because Krishna is coming here. And we want everything to be just right for Krishna. This is a fact, actually. And then when he was satisfied, everything's in order, then he was transferred. Okay, then, let us read a few verses here describing the build-up. Human compression. I mean, to get your people in particular. But anyway, I think we'll just, you know, leave it at that for tonight. Okay, here we are. We're going to read from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods. Bhagavan Api Vishvarama. Bhaktaram abhayankara avideshamsha bhagena mana ana kadundave. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul of all living entities, and who vanquishes all the fear of his devotees, entered the mind of Vasudeva in full opulence. This is our Krishna. Balaram is being transferred. Now, Krishna, by his own arrangement, first of all, enters the mind of Vasudeva, the father. This is not how it normally works. I don't know if you can remember how it worked for you. Perhaps not. I don't remember so much myself. But it didn't work this way, okay? This is because Krishna is transcendental, above and beyond all material laws and all different conditions of material existence. Krishna is not under their control. He has the right to say, as the man sang some years ago, some of you might remember, I did it my way. This is My father was a Frank Sinatra fan. I was brought up on that song. But Krishna, he really does things his way. So first he transferred himself, or he just entered the mind of Vasudeva. Let's read on. While carrying the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart, Vasudeva bore the Lord's transcendentally illuminating effulgence, and thus he became as bright as the sun. He was therefore very difficult to see or approach through sensory perception. Indeed, he was unapproachable and unperceivable, even for such formidable men as Kamsa, and not only for Kamsa, but for all living entities. Srila Prabhupada also would glow. He was effulgent. In fact, devotees generally, as they progress, and Krishna takes residence in their hearts and minds and in their throughout their beings, they reflect that by transcendental effulgence. There's a famous story of Srila Prabhupada. He had just arrived at the New York Rathayatra. They were just about to begin. Prabhupada arrived, and there were some New York cops, New York policemen, here in South Africa. I better be careful what I say. But, you know, at least we don't have so many real policemen. Anyway. They're probably going to arrest me. But in New York, I tell you what, they got real cops. I tell you what. Oh my gosh. So there are these two big, tough New York cops. And suddenly, one of them saw Prabhupada. And it was like he sort of jumped back and grabbed his friend. Hey, see that guy? He's glowing. That was Sri Prabhupada. So Vasudeva was glowing so much, people couldn't even look at him. Thereafter, accompanied by plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Just see, from one mind to the other. Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudeva, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness to everyone, the cause of all causes, within the core of her heart. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was within her womb, Devaki illuminated the entire atmosphere in the place where she was confined. She was in prison, after all. Seeing her jubilant, pure, and smiling, Kamsa thought, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is now within her, will kill me. Devaki has never before looked so brilliant and jubilant. Kamsa thought, what is my duty now? The Supreme Lord, who knows his purpose to kill the demons, will not give up his prowess. Devaki is a woman. She is my sister. And moreover, she is now pregnant. If I kill her, my reputation, opulence, and duration of life will certainly be vanquished. This is the way he saw things. If I kill her, it will be bad for me. Therefore, maybe I shouldn't kill her. Shukadeva Goswami said, deliberating in this way, Kamsa, although determined to continue in the enmity toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead, refrained from the vicious killing of his sister. He decided to wait until the Lord was born and then do what was needed. This is now very interesting. While sitting on his throne, or in his sitting room, while lying on his bed, or indeed while situated anywhere, and while eating, sleeping, or walking, Kamsa saw only his enemy, the Supreme Lord, Krishna. In other words, by thinking of his all-pervading enemy, Kamsa became unfavorably Krishna conscious. This is very interesting. Kamsa was so concerned. Is he going to kill me? When is he going to try and kill me? When will it happen? Where is he? He was so fixed in this state of mind that he couldn't forget Krishna. He would lie down. He would lie down to sleep. Lie down, lie down. And then in his mind would come, Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Where's the other one?
No, that other one is made of silver. Is it a penny light? What's it?
Have a little breather.
I'm just going to get some batteries from there.
It's like he try to stop himself thinking like this, he'd sit himself down and say, stop thinking of Krishna. Next few seconds, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He was unfavorably Krishna conscious, but he was Krishna conscious. Now, some of us may have difficulty remembering Krishna. Do any of you ever have any difficulty remembering Krishna? We have one here. If you want to know about it, ask him. We try to remember Krishna, we try to remember Krishna. Something else comes up. Oh, whatever it may be. Then we remember, oh, I meant to be thinking of Krishna. Wait a minute. So now again we try to remember Krishna, try to remember Krishna. Something else comes up. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Kabe Habe.
Unfavorably
And we might think, well, actually Narada Muni, there was another person who was unfavorably Krishna conscious, that was Shishupala. He was Krishna's cousin. For his whole life he never forgot Krishna in a mood of hatred. If you ask him, how are you today? Who can't it? He would say, today I feel like I hate Krishna. What are you going to do today, Shishupal? Today I'm not going to meet Krishna. His whole life he never thought of anything other than Krishna. And finally Krishna killed him because he despised Krishna. Krishna Gilda decapitated him with the Sudarshan Chakra. Special mercy. And everyone who was watching, Narada Muni was there, Maharaj Yudhisthira was there, so many people were there. Everyone saw the soul come out of the body of Shishupala, hover a little bit, and then enter the body of Krishna. And Yudhisthira Maharaj was astonished. How could this have happened? This person was the first class demon, totally demoniac. Even as a child, in the broken language of a child, he only spoke negative things about Krishna. And now he has entered the body of Krishna. In other words, he has got a type of liberation which otherwise is so hard to get. Many lifetimes of austerities. So somehow or other one should remember Krishna. Of course, actually one should remember Krishna in a mood of devotion. Otherwise one will only get impersonal liberation. And that is actually not so good. So counselors like this. And then, in a little while, not the normal 9 months. No. Lord Krishna was only in the womb of Devaki. Little while, short while, just relaxing, taking a break before coming out, because he knew as soon as he comes out, it's going to be action. Full scale. You know, first thing, escape from the jail, go to Gokula. Get exchanged for the female child of Yashoda. Wow, talk about action stations. So he took a break for a couple of days in the womb of Devaki. Then, well, let's just read last few verses. Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty, and peace. The constellation Rohini appeared as the stars like Ashwini. The sun, the moon, and the other stars and planets were very peaceful. All directions appeared extremely pleasing, and the beautiful stars twinkled in the cloudless sky. Decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs full of lilies and lotuses were extraordinarily beautiful. In the trees, and green plants, full of flowers and leaves, pleasing to the eyes. Birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. A pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the sense of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the Brahmins engaged in ritualistic ceremonies, ignited their fires according to Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and Brahmins, who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men, felt peace within the cause of their hearts. And kettle drums simultaneously vibrated from the upper planetary system. The Kiddaras and Gandharvas began to sing auspicious songs. The Siddhas and Charanas offered auspicious prayers, and the Vidyadharis, along with the Apsaras, began to dance in jubilation. The demigods and great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood, and clouds gathered in the sky and very mildly thundered, making sounds like those of the ocean's waves. Then, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was of the same category as Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki, Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Ki. So Krishna appeared, and immediately, as we mentioned, got into his program of righting the wrongs, protecting the devotees, and so on. Krishna immediately got into his program. He annihilated Kamsa and many other demons. Prabhupada explains, when Krishna was a small boy in Vrindavan, he would go herding the cows. Every day, just before lunch, a demon would come, and Krishna would kill him. And the cowherd boys would know, time for the lunch break. Then later in the afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock, something like that, another demon would come. Krishna would kill that demon. The cowherd boys would cheer. And then they'd know, time to go home. These were signals arranged by Yoga Maya. Otherwise, Prabhupada explains, they would never have gone home. They were just having too much fun playing with Krishna. And they didn't want to go home to mummy, because they were not mummy's boys. They were tough cowherd boys. Yeah. So Krishna was killing demons left and right, and at least 2 a day, and sometimes 1 hour before breakfast. So, you know, today we have our share of demons. We will not mention any names. But you can leave it up to you. And some people think, why doesn't Krishna appear? Why doesn't he appear? Well, some other people think he has appeared. We'll also not talk about that. In fact, because being an incarnation of God is quite lucrative, you get a few followers and you're away. So, Brahma says, in India, on practically every corner, you find an incarnation of God loitering, looking for followers. Some of them cannot get followers, so they become unemployed other times. But actually, we don't need any of this cheap stuff. Actually, the Lord is present today. Of course, he's present in his deity form. We will see him in just about a minute. But mainly in this Kali Yuga, the Lord is present. Kali Kali, Nama Rupe, Krishna Avatar. In the Kali Yuga, Kali Kali, in the Kali time, Nama Rupe, in the form of the name, Krishna Avatar. Krishna is present as an avatar, as an incarnation. So if we, going home from this festival a little later on, if we take with us Krishna in the form of his holy names, and we keep the holy names with us, we will be with Krishna constantly. And when you're with Krishna, everything is wonderful, everything is perfect. Actually, that is the perfection of life. So let's take Krishna home with us from this beautiful festival. You know, let me tell you a little bit of history, which I think you don't know. This is a good one. When we originally designed the temple, it was not going to be a three-story building. We're on the third floor here. It was going to be two-story. And the temple room was going to be the area immediately beneath us. It's a bit, which is a lot smaller than this. Because the devotees thought, that's enough. That's enough. But who came along and convinced the devotees you need a bigger temple room? And so then they made this big space up here. You know who? Mr. Raj Bansi. He's done very good. Thank you.
क्यों महाराज
Thank you.